Number two of My Guys in the Desert, brought to you from the OddsTrader.com studio at South Point Casino. Go to OddsTrader.com, download the free OddsTrader app right now, start winning with up to the second info you need. As always, go to OddsTrader.com, and it's great to have Chris Andrews, South Point Sportsbook Director, in the OddsTrader.com studio here at the South Point. Aaron Renning, along with me, Matt Eumanns, hour number two. Thanks to Tuff Hedeman for joining us. At the end of hour number one, Chris, the rodeo is coming to the South Point. I know Michael Gaughan's a big rodeo fan. He's a Tuff Hedeman fan.
Yes, he is.
And
yeah.
You've got that show. He's a four-time world champ, pro rodeo Hall of Famer. The South Point Arena and Equestrian Center for a live show Saturday night that's almost sold out now. Do you ever put up, Aaron asked about this, do you put up betting numbers on any of the rodeo events? Got to be tough to do. I know you've tried to do it in the past on some events.
Yeah, we did in the past. It was okay. We definitely did some business, but we didn't make any money on it. Put up bull riding events before. Mm-hmm. This was during the pandemic when we didn't have anything else to bet on. We had some bull riding. We got smacked around a little bit there too, but we had it up and made some guys happy. Made Michael happy. Made Ryan Growney happy, and that usually makes me happy. Yeah. So even though we lost a little money, we gave some stuff, gave those guys some things to bet on.
Well, I thought Chris was going to put odds, Matt, on who's more likely to be walking around here in a cowboy hat on Saturday night, me or you, Matt. Put Chris on the spot there.
I would say if it's a three-way line, you would bet the opposite, third option.
But you're a rodeo guy, Matt.
I've been to two rodeos. I watched one show in Vegas at the NFR when I was over at UNLV's basketball practice one day. I watched the show, and then I went to actually a show up in Reno one time. An outdoor event was pretty cool. I got to admit, it was actually a pretty cool event.
Something I need to do.
But that was many years ago.
Chris, I went to the rodeo in Reno, too. Huh? So maybe we're at the same one. I went to one.
Yeah, you spent a lot of years up in
almost
Reno.
30.
Rodeo is pretty big up there as well. All right, let's talk, Chris Andrews, about college football and what's going down here with Texas and Oklahoma trying to ditch the Big 12. And here's what a new SEC would look like. Are you ready for this? So this was on the SEC Network.
I think I saw it, but go ahead.
Okay, they put the new look SEC into four different pods, and it's going to be interesting if it shakes out this way. I want to get your, before we get the graphic up here so people can look at it, I want to get your thoughts on what's going down with college football. And I don't necessarily like the direction it's heading. Where you're going to end up with about three super conferences, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe you're not counting the Pac-12 as a super conference. I don't blame you there, but let's see.
Won't the Pac-12 try to expand? The Big Ten now try to expand? Everybody's going to try to get bigger and better,
I think they're
going
to try to get bigger. The thing that I think was really overlooked, though, with these teams abandoning the Big 12, the teams that are left, there's some great basketball schools there.
Yeah.
Baylor won a championship last year. Kansas, one of the premier programs in the country. Kansas State isn't so bad. Iowa State, always real good. Now, Iowa State this year is very good in football, but they haven't been. Right. I mean, they don't have a great tradition. But, right now everything is geared towards football. And, of course, the SEC is not a great basketball conference. They have Kentucky, and they have some other ones who rear their head every once in a while. I mean, Florida's won some championships in the not-too-distant past. But, everything's towards football, and everybody's kind of forgotten about basketball right now. And I don't know. It's just everything just seems kind of strange to me. I am kind of an old-school guy. I like the old ways things were done. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of these conferences were based on what region of the country you're in. Now you have, Maryland in the Big Ten. I'm still getting used to that.
Rutgers.
Rutgers in the Big Ten. West Virginia in the Big Eight.
Remember about
the Big 12.
3 or 4 or 5 years ago when San Diego State and Boise State talked about joining the Big East?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
So, well, the thing is, for me, it's this isn't really about having success on the field because, I mean, you look at Nebraska going to the Big Ten, they haven't had any Big Ten success. You look at Missouri and Texas A&M going to the SEC hasn't improved their chances of really winning anything. So it really all comes down to, like anything, to the money here. But it's not like Oklahoma or Texas are going to become better football teams. Or I guess with the college football playoffs, that throws a wrench in everything. That's kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah, and you look at the ACC, too. They added schools like Pitt and Syracuse and Boston College before then. I mean, that you know, listen, Pitt's had a, those teams had at one time a great football tradition.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, but anymore they've really more been basketball schools, you know. But I don't, has it helped the ACC basketball wise? Not really.
It's all about football. Quick break, my guys in the desert. All right, back at the South Point Sportsbook, Matt Eumanns with Aaron Renning and the South Point Sportsbook director Chris Andrews talking college football, Texas, Oklahoma trying to ditch the Big 12. We said it's all about football. I wish that worked the case, Chris, because I love college hoops, but it feels like that nobody cares about college hoops when you're looking at conference realignment. Now, let's check this out from the SEC Network yesterday. What the SEC could look like if Oklahoma and Texas joined the conference. It would be split into four pods. Pod A would be Florida, Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, and South Carolina. Pod B, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. Good luck, Vandy. Pod C, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. And pod D, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah, I think there's an error there. Yeah, you got pod A with Arkansas. Right. And I think
Arkansas is not supposed to be.
They're just going to be in pod D.
Right. So you got four teams in each pod. Arkansas, we got doubled up on that graphic. But Arkansas is not supposed to be in A. It's interesting that Oklahoma and Texas would be in the same pod. And Texas and Texas A&M are split up. But regardless, Chris, your take on what's happening with college football and how this might change the sport, because obviously this is just going to be the first of many changes coming in the next few years if Texas and Oklahoma bolt a Big 12.
Well, I think, you know, what all started, I don't know what, you know, it's a chicken and egg kind of thing, you know, but, you know, when we're going to, pretty sure we're going to go to a 12-team playoff with college football. Personally, I think it should be 16, but I think once we get to 12, you know, then I think some of these conferences, you know, SEC primarily, you know, they see an opportunity to get three, maybe even four teams into that playoff. So, I mean, that I think that probably spurred this on. You know, the Big 12, I think, has been kind of shunned a little bit. You know, they haven't gotten the best of it as far as the college playoff has gone. But it, again, Matt, we've kind of alluded to it. All this is football oriented, and none of this is towards the basketball. Which, I mean, you know, the NCAA, they don't run the bowl games. They're not part of the college football playoff, even though it's the same guys. But they do run the NCAA basketball tournament. But they've been silent on this. And Mark Emmert, even, you know, last year we had all this COVID stuff, and I don't know one thing that he did. And then here you have all this other stuff going on, and there's radio silence out of this guy. And I saw he just got this massive raise, too. So I don't know. We need a little guidance from the NCAA. I don't think they have the best interests at heart of anything but their bottom lines of these individual schools. And these guys are going to do well. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They're going to make a lot of money. But
what's your take on it, Aaron Renning?
Well, like I say, it's just a money grab. Like, you know, you talk about these teams that have left these conferences and joined the SEC. They haven't had any success really on the field that they would differ. To me, they'd be better off in the Big 12. But this is, you know, does this happen if we don't get the talk of an expanded college football playoffs? Probably not, but maybe I'm wrong. But that's where it's going to boil down to, is all of a sudden we're going to have the Big Four. Are we going to have ACC, Big Ten, SEC, and the Pac-12? Like you say, Pac-12 might not count in that.
Yeah.
But where does the Big 12 go from this? Do they dissolve, or do they bring in Houston, talk of BYU, et cetera?
BYU, Boise State, going to start to look around for different options.
But it's just not going to be on par with the other power conferences.
Well, I think you look back to the ACC when they expanded, and I'm talking 20 years ago now, they brought in Miami and Florida State, thinking that would elevate their football product. Well, really didn't. It brought really, them down to the level of everybody else, you know. And, you know, it's interesting how that works. I'm not sure there's an exact formula for any of that, but it is interesting to see that sometimes they don't raise the level. You lower the level of the guys you're bringing in.
And, you know, remember a lot of these lesser teams from the MAC or obviously the Sun Belt go for these big paydays, keeps those schools, those programs alive. If SEC is maybe playing more conference games, that takes that a little bit out of the equation. But, I mean, the SEC almost becomes like a mini NFL schedule if you put in Texas and Oklahoma into that conference.
You got to wonder what's going to happen with Notre Dame next, too, because that would be a domino to fall. All right, Chris Andrews, you put up the college football lines. What was the date when you put them up here at the South Point?
Oh, gosh.
I don't want to ask you the exact date, but they've been up for a while.
They've been up for a while, yeah. Games of the year. And
Let's talk about some of these games, the key games, and maybe some line moves. And we just talked about Notre Dame, so I'll throw that one out to you. That's on the first Sunday night of the season. Sunday night football, Notre Dame at Florida State. Pretty interesting matchup. What do you open at? Where do you stand now?
I opened the game six, Notre Dame six. What am I up to? You know what? I had people in my office all afternoon just after you texted me. But I think I'm up to 9.5 or 9 with that game. So a lot of money on Notre Dame. I'm not sure it's a bet on Notre Dame or a bet against Florida State. I'm not sure exactly what. But I did get some Notre Dame money. I put them on a lot of games of the year because I did use conference games only for my season win totals. They're not in a conference, so I tried to get Notre Dame. Obviously, they're still a very popular team with the public, so I tried to get them up as much as possible. But I got some money on some of the Notre Dame games of the year.
All right, how about Miami, Alabama? We just talked about the Hurricanes and the ACC. This number's gone up quite a bit, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think I probably screwed this one up a little bit. Miami, I opened them 13. We're up to 17.5 with the game. I'm very high on Miami this year, though. And, you know, when I do my evaluations, really, I mean, first thing you look at is quarterback. And I think Miami's going to be okay at quarterback. I know Derek King had some
issues. He said he's 100%. He said this week
he's going to be okay.
After the
injury
in the bowl game.
But other than that, quarterback, obviously, everybody looks at that. But I look at the offensive line, and they have right now probably, I think it's more offensive line starts returning for Miami, Florida, than any other team in the country. Now, Alabama has been blowing out these first teams that they match up against, you know, for the last couple years. But, you know, I always say we can't bet on those games. We're only betting on this year's games. And I think Miami's going to play them pretty tough. I'm not sure my number was all that terrible, but, and by the way, I have Bama ranked as highly as I've ever ranked a team to start the season.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I have them ranked very high. And they got a lot of new parts coming in, too. Sure. But I still think very highly of them, as well I should. But I think Miami's going to hang tough with them, and I don't mind being in this position.
I've seen that number up to 18 at some spots. Yeah, you said you're 17.5 here?
Yeah, we're at 17.5. I got a little play plus 17, but then the public overpowered them again.
Okay. Another big game that weekend. This is going to be good. Georgia and Clemson. What'd you open at? Where do you stand now?
I'm at 4, and I've had action, but I have not had to move that number one way or the other. That's been a terrific game, and I'll tell you, as a fan, I have no idea who I'm going to need in this game, but I really want to see this one. This should be one heck of a game. You know, Georgia has probably, well, it's hard to say. They've come pretty close to out-recruiting Alabama in the last couple of years. It's really close. Remember, the Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, and I'd throw Ohio State in, has probably recruited better than anybody in the last 4 or 5 years. So, I mean, this is going to be a terrific game, and I can't wait to see this one. But 4 looks like a really good number here.
That Georgia-Clemson game is going to be in Charlotte, right?
I know it's a neutral site. Yeah,
yes.
I think it's your own.
That game's in Charlotte, and the Miami-Alabama game's in Atlanta.
Yeah,
so neutral site games. Aaron Renning, have you fired on any of these early college football
games? I have not. Like I said, I've kind of been working on the NFL. I'll crank it up here on college. Obviously, Chris does a great job putting these up earlier and earlier every year and see some of the early action. I'm still probably certainly 2 or 3 weeks away from firing on any college football.
Chris Andrews here. Follow him at Andrews Sports on Twitter. How about LSU UCLA? That's a good one at the Rose Bowl, and that's going to be the Bruins' second game of the season.
Yeah, actually. You know, I have an opinion on this game, and I know I opened the game LSU 2, and I'm up to 4. I think UCLA has a chance to be pretty good this year. I mean, Chip Kelly's been there now He's got 20 starters back. They're going to have one game under their belt when they face LSU. LSU's used to playing in, hostile environments. I'm not sure going to the Rose Bowl in September is going to be all that tough. It's not like going to, Bama in October, November.
Might actually sound like an LSU crowd.
Yeah, it might. Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be that tough. But I think right. The fact that, like you said, they have 20 starters back for UCLA. These are Chip Kelly players. I think Chip Kelly, his career – It peaked a couple years ago, but I'm not sure he doesn't have one more run in him here with these UCLA team. And like I said, having the one game under your belt against an opponent that they certainly should handle in Hawaii, I think that gives them a little bit of an edge. And I like UCLA in this game. I think my number that I opened, which was 2, but you go through 3 and you're up to 4. I think I would look to take a shot at UCLA if I was out there playing.
Okay. Bruins, actually, you mentioned it. They're going to open the season Saturday, August 28th at the Rose Bowl against Hawaii, and that number has taken quite a big leap. I was actually trying to lay 9.5 with UCLA at a local book. It was on the sheet as 9.5, and I walked up to the counter to bet it. I said, maybe they fell asleep. I'll lay the 9.5 here. That was up to 16.5.
Yeah, we're at 17.
You're at 17 now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm at 17. I don't know. I think that's probably a decent number myself at 17. Hawaii's a good program, I guess, for their level, but I'm not sure they could compete with UCLA.
BYU-Arizona, that game's going to be in Vegas, and Arizona complete rebuild. And Jed Fish, former Patriots quarterbacks coach, is a new coach of the Wildcats. And BYU is obviously going to have a new quarterback because Zach Wilson's with the Jets. So how do you look at that matchup here in Vegas? And has that number moved at all?
Yeah, it did. Not a big move, but I did open 11. Yeah. Our good friend Paul Stone bet me on BYU. I was kind of surprised. I have BYU. I mean, listen, I don't think much of Arizona. They're probably one of the worst teams in the Pac-12. But, BYU lost a lot. And, you have a quarterback like Wilson. He's like a generational player, I think. And it's not like the old days, Matt, when guys like BYU had Steve Young and Marcus Wilson and Jim McMahon. Right. Et cetera, et cetera. Who was the guy that won the national championship?
Ty Detmer.
Ty Detmer.
Robbie Bosco.
Robbie Bosco. They had a lot of good quarterbacks, but I don't see that happening right now. Somebody's calling me on my cell phone. I forgot to turn this on.
Somebody was calling you to tell you Robbie Bosco.
Robbie Bosco, yeah. But anyway... I downgraded them quite a bit, but they're playing Arizona, a real weak sister, and it's here in Las Vegas. They'll travel well. BYU always travels real well, so that's going to kind of be a home crowd for BYU, I think.
That's Saturday, September 4th. We got some really good games early in the college football season. Chris, you put up win totals. Now, yours are a little bit different. You put up only conference games, right? So have you seen any certain teams drawing more money than others?
Oh, we've done a lot of business. And I wrote down my ones that have had double moves, because a lot of them have one move. I don't know what to take of that. But, by the way, I went back to the reason I did the conference games. I'm still afraid of all the COVID stuff, and I really feel that these conferences will do their best to play the conference games. But now I'm hearing stuff, that they have, some forfeiture things in place that may or may not happen. We're still in the middle of a huge headache besides the health ramifications.
Yeah, we thought we were going to be in the clear, but that's not going to be the case. And especially I think the NFL is going to get things under control, but college football could be chaos again.
It could be chaos. Yeah. I mean, I remember, what was it last year? I think Utah was playing their first game of the year, and some of the teams had 11 games under their belt already. Anyway, ones I had, Central Florida, I opened 6.5 under 40. I'm at 6.5 over a quarter right now. Wow. So that's a pretty big move. Haven't moved the number, but moved the juice quite a bit. NC State, who I know a few people are kind of high on as a surprise team.
Kenny White's really high.
Yeah, Kenny White, I know that's one of them. I opened that 2.5 over, and I'm up to 2.5 over $1.45. So I got quite a bit of play there. Kansas, I put them up 1. One flat. Uh-huh. I'm at 1 under 40.
I was going to say, I think you got that under on that.
I don't know if you're going to find one victory in that, and you need 2 to actually lose your bet. Yeah. So that might have been a bad number on my part. UAB, this is an interesting game. are an interesting side. I put him up 6.5 under 50. I had some guy from Alabama in here, and he fired on UAB. Some older guy. I never saw him before. He's about 70-some-year-old guy. He bet them over a couple of times, and he bet them to win the conference, which I had him, I think, 3-1. So, I mean, I had him rated, I thought, pretty good. Anyway, I went from 6.5 under 50. I'm at 6.5 over $1.15 now, so that's pretty big move in juice.
I've heard some discussion about that one. I think that was Paul Stone in disguise.
Well, he really did a good job, I'll tell you that. But the biggest mover of all, and I got to buy a shirt for these guys, Louisiana Tech.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, this one, I'm going to do a mea culpa. I definitely, I screwed this one up. Some of my, I'm off a little bit here and there. This one, I was way off. I opened them 6.5 over 40. I just got bet under again today, so I'm at 4.5 flat on this. So, you know, I like to wear jerseys from different golf shirts from different schools. I got to go buy a Louisiana Tech shirt because I'm going to be rooting for them every week. I can tell you that.
Call the Skip Holtz.
I better, but I did a show out of Louisiana, and one of the guys, now I'm sure it's a homer kind of guy, but he said he graduated from Louisiana Tech. He said, no. He goes, your opening number was good. We're going to win a lot of games this year. So, I might give him a call at the end of the season if I'm on the wrong end of this. But, we got quite a bit of money under on Louisiana Tech.
Interesting. Can you hang around for 5 more minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Good deal. We want to talk. We got a couple more college football topics to talk about with Chris Andrews, the South Point Sportsbook Director, and Aaron Renning here in studio. It's Friday on My Guys in the Desert from the South Point. This is VSIN, a sports betting network. Back in a couple minutes, we're going to talk more Big 12 and Big 10 football. Welcome back to My Guys in the Desert with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the largest offer of live in-play options. BetRiver Sportsbook is the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience more rewarding, BetRiver offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and only one-time playthrough. BetRiver, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey, and you must be 21. BetRiver Sportsbook is at BetRivers.com. Chris Andrews, South Point Sportsbook Director in studio with me and Aaron Renning here. We're going to talk a little bit more college football in the next 5 minutes here, Chris. Look at the Big 12. We talked about Texas and Oklahoma want to escape the Big 12 and go to the SEC, but let's just focus on this year. Oklahoma far and away the best team in that conference, or do you think Iowa State is right there, and where does Texas fit into the picture?
Well, I got Oklahoma 7 points better than Iowa State on a neutral, and I got them 10 points better than Texas. But, you know, Matt, you watch football every – I mean, there's 10-point dogs. There's 7-point dogs win all the time, I mean, every week. You know, so I think Iowa State definitely has a chance. I mean, I don't know how the psychology is going to play into this coming year. You know, probably mean a little something for the first couple plays, but after that won't mean much. But I think Iowa State, they have a chance to beat Oklahoma, and I do make this point almost every year. It's my annual rite of summer to overrate Oklahoma and Michigan every single year. So maybe I got Oklahoma overrated a little bit again this year.
November 20th, Iowa State at Oklahoma. I see 6 on the sheet. Might be a little higher than that now, Chris.
I think we're right about there. I mean, Iowa State does garner some money, and, you know, when I did the games of the year, I didn't know what to do with home field, so I really cut down the home field advantage quite a bit. Ordinarily, I would have Oklahoma with a much stronger home field advantage, but I don't know what to do with these.
You're
right
still
now.
Concerned about COVID for this college football season, aren't you?
I am. Well, I mean, just look at the Olympics and look at what's going on, like, you know, certain parts of the country. I mean, I know I followed it today. Florida, Missouri, and Texas have, you know, monstrous numbers, and I don't know what's going to happen a month, 2 months, 3 months from now. I don't know.
Okay, how about the Big Ten? I've been working on this for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. Wes Reynolds has as well. Is this simply a two-team race with Ohio State and Wisconsin? Is it Buckeyes and Badgers and everyone else, or how do you break down the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, you know, once again, I mean, I think Ohio State is, you know, I'm not breaking any news here. I mean, they're clearly the best team. I got them 12 points better than Penn State on a neutral, and I got them 10 points better than Wisconsin. But, of course, Wisconsin's on the other side of the bracket. So I think Wisconsin, I hate to say anything's easy, you know, but they have an easier path. Whereas, you know, listen, Penn State beat them one year, you know, with the big underdog where they blocked the field goal and ran it back.
Right.
You know, I'll certainly be rooting for Penn State that weekend. You know, Michigan, I know they haven't played well in the last, you know, dozen years or so, but I don't think it'd be outrageous for them to beat Ohio State. And I'll tell you what, first week I think they have a pretty tough matchup with a pretty good Minnesota team. You know, so is that the chalk? Absolutely. Is that the slam dunk? Not nowhere near.
I think week one, I saw on DraftKings, not sure what you got here. Week one, Ohio State minus 13 at Minnesota.
That's what it is. Yeah, I'm up to 13.5 now with play. Yeah. But I wouldn't mind having Minnesota going for me. I think that's a good team, yeah.
How about Oregon at Ohio State in week two? Some really good games for the Buckeyes early.
Yeah.
Ohio State at least, what, 10 or 11-point favorite in that game?
Something like that. I can't remember. I didn't write that one
13
down.
13 on the sheet.
13 on the sheet. It's probably pretty close.
I think it's dropped a little bit.
I don't remember.
10. I thought I saw 11.5 or something like that. Vinny said here it's a South Point.
I think it is 11.5 now that you're mentioning it.
Okay.
I think it is. You know, I don't know what to think of Oregon this year, but I think they're going to be a very good team. That's, you know, always tough, well coached, got some good athletes here. But, you know, listen, Ohio State, I mean, can we pencil in Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson into the four playoff spots? I think you probably could. You know, that's why I haven't put that prop up yet this year, because I think that's pretty much what it's going to be.
What's your take on Wisconsin? Do you think the Badgers bounce back after an off year?
They certainly should, and they deserve to be favorites, Matt, but I'm just not sold on that team. I think some of these other teams, Minnesota, catching up to Wisconsin in that conference, or Iowa is always strong. Remember, they finished the season after those two losses. They finished with six straight wins. So I would say Minnesota and Iowa certainly have a puncher's chance. And I mean, was it a couple years ago? Wisconsin was a big favorite. Northwestern won the conference by three games. You kind of never know in that division.
Yeah, Northwestern was tough last year, but they lost.
They lost a lot.
Yeah,
Northwestern was 7-2 last year with a bowl win, and won the Big Ten West. Gave Ohio State a good fight in the Big Ten title game. Chris Andrews, we've got about 10 seconds left. Thanks for coming in. Where are you headed on vacation?
I'm heading to Central California to see my stepson and then see my son up in Seattle after that.
So. All right. Have a great trip,
man.
Thank
you.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back. Talk golf and baseball betting next. All right, the VSiN football betting guides are coming soon. Hey, there's no better way to prepare for the college and pro seasons. Our experts, including Wes Reynolds, provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20. Discounts available when you buy both, and you should buy both. Now is the time to reserve your copy or sign up for VSiN All Access and get everything we offer for the entire football season. There you go. You see the VSiN college football and pro football betting guides, over 100 pages in the college, and all sorts of valuable betting information. Go to VSIN.com/subscribe, and Wes Reynolds, Bruce Marshall, and a team of guys working on college football. I did the Pac-12, Wes and I working on the Big Ten. Wes is, I think, riding around the clock on this thing right now. Next week, Aaron Renning, it's a big event here. The second annual VSiN Invitational Golf Tournament at Prim Valley Golf Club. And it's going to be a noon shotgun start, two-player scramble format. And it's free to play for a limited number of VSiN subscribers. You can email me here at the VSiN email address, matt@vsiN.com, if you want to get in. I just had Pat Webb from Portsmouth, Ohio, a longtime VSIN subscriber, tell me he's going to bring three players out from Ohio next week. I had a group of eight guys from Texas say they want to come out to play. We'll see. We're going to have somewhere between 40 and 50 players, it looks like.
Looks beautiful on that shot right there. Matt, my goal is to play in this next year. I can't do it this year, but I'm hoping next year. And, boy, the way the weather has turned, Matt, it might be about 15 degrees cooler this year for the tournament.
That's bad news for me. Last year it was 115 when we teed off. That was August 16th, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
This year we're going to have Sunday, August 1st, and it looks like the forecast is for 102. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's not going to be as hot. The hotter the better, as far as I'm concerned. We got a bunch of cool prizes, including futures tickets and more, which I'll talk about next week. But you got about five more days. I think by next Wednesday, I'm going to cut it off and give Prim Valley the list of players. So if you want in, let me know within the next 4 or 5 days. We definitely have, I would say, at least 15 spots open in the golf tournament. Prim Valley Golf Club, Sunday, August 1st. Two of my favorite spots in the world, Prim Valley and Del Mar. And you're headed to Del Mar, I think, this weekend, right, to the horse races?
Yeah, I'll be heading down that way, Matt. The NBA is finally over. And going to take some time off. I mean, you know, you think back, and, you know, fortunately we had sports, but everything, you know, baseball and NBA started back August 1st. And I've had a little bit of downtime now, but, boy, that was about 6-7 months of quite a grind. So looking forward to taking some time off. No action, no bets. Very rare in my life that I have that going.
Well, it's been it has changed our schedule in the off seasons. What's happened here, and it hadn't had much time to take off since the Super Bowl. So I'm going to try to make it down to Del Mar a couple times myself in August. So have a good time down there.
Yeah, I've always been a proponent that I wish the NBA would not start until Thanksgiving. And I did like it. I mean, last year was great. It didn't start till Christmas. But, however, I can't say I was a big fan of the NBA going to the middle of July. I'd like to see it wrapped up by July 4th.
I would think the players want this thing wrapped up by late June as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the past, I don't think the NBA Finals ever went past June 20th.
Right.
And now you're playing until the middle of July, and I'm sure the players aren't crazy about that. NBA is going to try to get back on a normal schedule. Hey, let's talk baseball tonight. Actually, this game starts in about a half hour. Blue Jays and Mets at Citi Field. Steven Matz goes for the Blue Jays, a former Met, and Tyler McGill for the Mets. Interesting pitching matchup tonight. The Mets minus 110, favorites, total of 9. And I think you'd have to give Steven Matz maybe a look in this matchup tonight. Did you do anything with that?
Didn't do anything in this game. I always thought Matz was probably better than he showed with the Mets. Certainly that was the case last year. I guess kind of middling with his ERA so far this year, 4.43. However, 8-4 so far for Toronto. So to me, he's kind of fulfilling his potential a little bit better here with the Blue Jays.
A buddy, Jim Mill Phil, tweeted about this today. By the way, the Mets have acquired Rich Hill from Tampa.
I saw that. Now, that was strange because Tampa just made a trade to improve their team. And now, you know, Rich Hill, from a spin standpoint, you know, this is a guy that had some of the best spin rate on his curveball that you would ever see in Major League Baseball. His spin rates have been really down. So perhaps Tampa Bay, always a smart organization, being a little bit proactive here.
Yeah, it's the Rays just picked up Nelson Cruz from the Twins, so I thought that was a good offensive move. It was curious to me that Rich Hill was traded. Not really sure why, but I'm not going to question the Rays on too much. They're a pretty smart organization. Mm-hmm. They tend to get things right.
Yeah, you know, in the Mets, you know, Carrasco's middling at best in the minor leagues, trying to come back. Yeah. Syndergaard, they're hoping to get some reinforcements from those guys. It's just not going to happen.
At Jen Mill Phil on Twitter, he's a very sharp baseball capper. I think he's 8-2 this month anyway. He said, don't think the Rich Hill move is all about Jacob DeGrom being out. DeGrom will return soon and still be himself. This has more to do with Carlos Carrasco getting shelled in his AAA rehab. The Mets had slotted his return this weekend, but that's on hold. And Phil is also on the Blue Jays at Even Money tonight, backing Steven Matz against the Mets. I want to ask you, let's look at this graphic I put together. Trading places, which MLB deals make the most sense? I'd like to add one to this. I forgot last night. How about the Astros picking up Max Scherzer? The Dodgers need to have bullpen help. Craig Kimbrel from the Cubs. The Mets, Chris Bryant from the Cubs. The Yankees need a left-handed power bat. Joey Gallo from the Texas Rangers. And one more I should put on there. What about the Red Sox? And does Anthony Rizzo make sense for the Red Sox? So let's add that. Of those five deals, which ones do you think, which one makes the most sense? Which one do you think won't happen?
Yeah, I always like the, you know, the starting pitcher would get a guy like Max Scherzer that can really, you know, fortify that starting rotation to be essentially a stopper. You get into one game or you need it, or the playoffs. But I think these hitters, whether it's Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo, certainly make some sense. I think the Yankees have, boy, bigger problems than maybe bringing in Joey Gallo. And, you know, Craig Kimbrell's not going to make it, you know, from a bullpen standpoint, it's not going to make that big of a difference for the Dodgers the rest of the way. So I'd be, Scherzer's probably the one guy that I'd look for to be a difference maker.
Kimbrell's been pitching pretty well. I've been surprised.
He has been.
And the more I watch Kenley Jansen, I just don't, he's going to.
I think Dodger fans will feel the same way.
He's limping to the finish line. The Mets, Chris Bryant, that'd be a great move if the Mets can make it.
Yeah.
The Yankees definitely have to get more left-handed bats in that lineup.
They do.
Again, last night they blew the game, the 3-1 lead in the ninth, but they didn't have much offense to even get the 3-1 runs last night, and the Yankees' offense has got to wake up. It's going to be interesting what happens at the MLB trade deadline, which is going to be next week. I think it's a week from today. I'm pretty sure it's July 30th. Anyway, let's take
right. You know, run. Teams like the Cubs or the Yankees that are, you know, eight games back, essentially out of the division. What are they going to do? I mean, the Yankees are pretty much have to go for it, but you expect the Cubs to probably blow it up to a certain extent.
Talk more baseball betting. We come back in a minute. From the OddsTrader.com studio at South Point Casino, go to OddsTrader.com, download the free OddsTrader app right now. You can start winning with up to the second info you need, real-time bet tracking, live in-game odds and stats, and a lot more. Visit OddsTrader.com. All right, let's update the golf. Yesterday when Wes Reynolds and I were in here, Ricky Fowler was leading the 3M Open at the Twin Cities, and he was the favorite in the live betting, and I said, no way you can bet Ricky Fowler. We've seen him get off the first round, hot first round starts, and then fade over the weekend, but you just could not play Ricky Fowler at single digits when he was live. So right now the leader is Adam Hadwin, a Canadian. He fired a 65 today. Bo Hogue and Ches Reavy, Johnny Vegas, among the group of guys, one stroke off the pace, and one guy I did play for a small bet this week, despite the British Open hangover. I had Louis Oosthuizen in the British at 36-1. He lost a 54-hole lead. You think, he's probably not going to be motivated this week in the Twin Cities, but I thought he would show up and play well. He missed a 5-foot putt for birdie on the 18th today, but he's still 6-under, and he's only four strokes off the pace, and he's right there in the top 20, so Louis Oosthuizen playing well this week. Ricky Fowler has faded, and I think Fowler right now is 5-under and 2-over for the day. So Fowler 5 strokes back. Let's talk baseball tonight at Fenway Park. They do it again, and Gerrit Cole needs to give the Yankees a strong start. He's had two recent starts against the Red Sox. Cole tonight at the South Point plus 105 against E-Rod. Eduardo Rodriguez of the Red Sox, who's minus 115, total of 8.5. And again, last night, if you didn't watch it, the Yankees were up 3-1 in the ninth. Chad Green gave up a 2-run double with 2 outs to tie the game at 3. Yankees lost 5-4 in extra innings in the series opener against the Red Sox. Aaron Renning, when you look at these two teams head-to-head, the Red Sox won the first 7 games against the Yankees this season. They were 7-0. The Yankees came back to win the next two. They were trying to make it 3 in a row last night until the bullpen implosion. Gerrit Cole tries to be the stopper, get the Yankees back on track tonight. Did you play Yankees-Red Sox?
I mean, just kills the Yankees' momentum to try to get back into this race. Matt, it's just so crazy. You watch the baseball, and it's the wild pitches that does the Yankees in. It's just something different every night for this team.
I think it was four wild pitches in one inning, right?
Yeah, just craziness, Major League Baseball. I do have a bet here. I bet this game over the total. I think you can try to make a case for the Red Sox. Or over, looking to fade the Yankees and or Gerrit Cole. I mean, I think those are both fade guys. Cole certainly has not been the same pitcher since June with the spin crackdown, etc. A little bit better, obviously, the last couple of starts, 23 strikeouts against Houston and Boston, but I'm not afraid to step up and go against them here. I think Rodriguez is certainly a guy that's pitched better than his 5.19 ERA, so... I do have the over. I debated whether to put some Red Sox money in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's look at some more games in the American League. How about the Rays and the Indians? And I guess we can't call them the Indians. They're going to be the Cleveland Guardians. I hate that nickname. How do you come up with the Guardians?
Cleveland Guardians. It sounds like a XFL team, or not even an XFL.
An Arena Football League team. The right? Cleveland
arena,
Guardians.
Arena team. That's what I was thinking of.
Come on. Josh Fleming against Zach Plesac.
Yeah. No, nothing here. I mean, talked about the two crazy games with the Dodgers and the Giants. Obviously, the Yankees, Boston last night. This was another one decided with two outs in the ninth. They always say, what is it? The 27th out is the hardest out to get. Certainly played that way last night, but I didn't do anything in this one, man.
All right. Interesting matchup, actually, in Minnesota. And it's not because Shohei Ohtani's on the mound tonight, but it's Alex Cobb on the mound for the Los Angeles Angels. And I'm not sure how many people realize this, but we had Matt Vasgersian on the show last week, and he's now calling all the Angels games full time. Alex Cobb, in 72 and two-thirds innings, has allowed only three home runs this season. He's quietly been a really good starting pitcher for the Angels. We'll call this a pick'em game. Slightly different numbers of different books, but at the South Point, minus 105 each way, total of 9.5. Angels at Twins, Cobb against Jay Happ.
I bet this game over the total, Matt. I think you could certainly make the case for the Angels as well. Of course, the Minnesota Twins make that move yesterday with the trade. Pretty much going to wave the white flag on the season. So that would, to me, want you to point a little bit here towards Anaheim. And, you know, Happ has been miserable this year so far, 6.15 ERA. I think that's pretty much his true number. His stuff's down, his spin rate's down a little bit over the last month. Cobb, I'm not, as I said, I bet this game over. I've been betting a lot of Angels games over the total. Generally, they've gotten there, not so much this last week when they were playing Oakland. But Cobb, you know, the 3.96 ERA, I liked him to start the season, but he's another guy. His stuff has dwindled a little bit over the last month. So, once again, Matt, this is a game I played over the total. First five and game line.
Okay. And, again, what's your philosophy on playing first fives? Because I said we had Dave Kokin on this week, and he's basically only playing first fives. He doesn't want to deal with the bullpens.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame him. And I'm a starting pitching guy. To me, I always start a baseball game with the starting pitching. Mm-hmm. And you know, that has definitely changed over the last couple of years, certainly with the fill-in starters that Tampa Bay has started to do using the bullpen guys, et cetera. But with the five-inning bet, you can still pretty much handicap the game with the starting pitcher. For the most part. Now, it doesn't always work out that way, but I always like it as kind of a fallback. And to me, you know, baseball is so random. I like to get involved with first five, game, team totals, et cetera. Try to spread your bet out so you don't have to, you know, put up with those ninth innings, if you will.
Right. You don't have to have all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
Just make a pregame bet on the nine innings. All right, Rangers and Astros in Houston. Jake Odorizzi minus $2, 8.5 the total. The home team's dominated in this series. Tigers and Royals in KC. How about the Tigers on a 7-game win streak? Peralta going against Bubich, the lefty, and Detroit can be had at about Well, actually, plus 115, mm-hmm. the best price I see in the market. Would you consider playing the Tigers here?
I mean, why not, right? I mean, the Tigers have been good. I mean, since about mid-something, May, when it started, I remember reading an article, Matt, when I got into this. They've done a really good job. You know, Detroit's really brought some smart guys in as far as the management of this team. The pitching coach, you know, it kind of took them the spring training and a month to kind of figure this out. But, you know, these guys have been proved, Skubal and Mize, et cetera, way better than they were last year. So it took them some time to kind of figure out some things and how they're going to pitch and different pitches. But I think that's kind of been the catalyst, how they've improved so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A's and Mariners in Seattle. A's won the series opener last night. Thanks to Ken Korak, the A's radio broadcaster, for coming on yesterday's show. And the A's won the series opener. Frankie Montas goes tonight against Kikuchi. And Oakland minus 120, total of 7.5. The A's favored on the road. Washington and Baltimore, regional rivalry. Patrick Corbin against Jorge Lopez. And Corbin's had an awful year. He is favored, though, here. The Nationals minus 128, total of 10.5. Did you have anything in Oakland, Seattle, or Washington, Baltimore?
I bet Oakland in Seattle, another game over the total. I've been betting a lot of overs. I'm hoping we can cash some tickets here tonight. You know, more against Kikuchi. And Kikuchi's someone that I thought was going to pitch better, but and you know, he really improved his velocity and some of his offerings over the last year going into start this year. But he's another guy, if you really were paying attention with the crackdown, with the rule changes here, his stuff has dwindled, Matt. His velocity's down about 1.5 miles per hour. Some of the spins down on him. So I think you can try to make a case for Oakland and try to make a case for this game to go over the total. Matt, looking forward to next Wednesday afternoon. We'll be down in San Diego for the A's and the Padres.
Oh, man, that's a good one. Might have to get the day off.
Snell and Manaea.
That's a good matchup.
That's a great matchup. If everything
Snell's
stands.
Been a much better pitcher at home than he has been on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good matchup. How about White Sox and Brewers? Battle of division leaders. The White Sox 20 games over. The Brewers 15 over. This game's in Milwaukee. Lucas Giolito. Cool hand Lucas against Peralta. Freddy Peralta, and at the South Point, Milwaukee minus 127, total of 7.5.
Tell you what, if you like starting pitching, this is the matchup to watch this weekend. Perhaps a World Series preview. I don't know if I want to get that far ahead here. I've been looking to go against Giolito here, Matt. He's another guy that, I mean, it was about 3 or 4 starts ago. And remember, there was some talk, some chatter he had with, I can't remember if it was Donaldson for the Twins or maybe someone else. But another guy, his stuff just completely has dropped off the table here. So looking to go against Giolito, okay, whether it's the side or over the total.
All right, we've talked about every baseball game but these three. Atlanta, Philadelphia, Max Fried, the lefty against Zach Wheeler. Of the Phillies, who are minus 150, total of 7.5. Padres and Joe Musgrove at Miami against Zach Thompson. Padres minus 142, total of 8. And Cardinals, Reds in Cincinnati. LeBlanc against who's starting for the Reds tonight? Tyler Mahle.
Yeah, Mahle.
Anyway, Cincinnati minus 160, total of 9.5. Anything you bet there on Braves, Phillies, Padres, Marlins, or Cardinals, Reds?
Yeah, I look towards the Cardinals. That game over the total. I did bet that one. You know, the Reds' bats have certainly cooled off a little bit, but I went ahead trying to go against Molly here for Cincinnati. Interesting, Atlanta, Philadelphia. Here come the Braves a little bit. Great series here between these two teams. Philadelphia has lost 3 games in a row. These teams are having a hard time catching the New York Mets.
All right, Aaron Redding, enjoy your vacation in San Diego.
I will.
I'm sure you will.
Hopefully we'll have to see you down there at some point.
I'll try to make it soon. Thanks to Tuff Hedeman, Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame bull rider, the show at the South Point Saturday night, and Chris Andrews, South Point Sportsbook Director. That does it for my guys in the desert. Jeff Parles up next here on VSiN with Danny Burke also.